Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I am excited for today's episode because I feel like there's this trend that I believe I actually saw the first time a year ago, at least. And I'm sure there's been other versions of it floating around the internet because the internet is infinite and no ideas are new, pretty much. But the first time I saw it was about a year ago, and I've just seen it pop back up for this year. And I wanted to bring it to the podcast because I think it highlights some really key factors in feeding picky eaters. So if you don't know what I'm talking about the 4 p.m. dinner trend. Now, I've seen it from people saying basically anywhere between the time of like 3 to 4:30 feeding their family dinners, particularly obviously parents with small kids and feeding their kids dinner like right after school. So we're in the back to school season. We've got full swing back to school over here, not only in Colorado, but across the nation. Here in America, this is back to school season. Late August, early September is when most kids go back to school. Even if you homeschool, you tend to like have this season of change. And even before our kids actually started school, there's just something about the fall weather kicking in, summer ending, that brings about new routines and new energy and just different focuses, right? Like it's kind of like spring cleaning. Like it kind of just hits. I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be this like across the country, across the world energy that shifts into new seasons, new rhythms, new routines, and kind of that desire after months of summer. And it's so funny, I actually wasn't feeling it at all like a week ago. And then this week hit and I was like, yes, I'm like thirsty for better routines, new habits, different schedules, whatever it might be, right? Structure in my life again after months of summer and later nights and slower mornings and more outside time and unstructured time and all this stuff, which I love. I love the season of summer, but that season is coming to an end and season of fall kicks in. And every year I'm, you know, motivated to start something new, to create better routines, to create better rhythms. And I know I'm not alone. I've shared about this feeling before where it just kind of tick, tick, ticks. And then boom, all of a sudden I'm like fully engaged in it. I want to start new habits. I want to document different parts of my life changing and all of these sorts of things. I just get this like rush of motivation, inspiration, all of the things. Every year that I haven't been pregnant in the fall, I felt it. So if you're feeling it, you are not alone. And I think with that, some of these kind of hacks, tips, and tricks pop up, especially around this time of year, this trend being one of them. So if you're unfamiliar with it, again, I'll kind of go more into detail, but essentially, I don't know where it originated. So I'm sorry about that. I don't know if it was one person or just kind of a collective idea. But essentially, the idea is to serve dinner right after school, sometime between 3 and 4, maybe even 4:30 p.m., instead of the more stereotypical American dinner, which is closer to 5:30 to 7 o'clock at night-ish, give or take, depending on your kids' ages, their nap schedules, their sleeping schedules, their school schedules, any other activity you might be having in your life. So I know as my kids were younger, our dinner was even earlier and earlier. We still aim for between 5:30 and 6 for dinner, which I know in a lot of families is very early. In some families, that's late. And it's just different across families, obviously. And of course, anytime that I talk to anyone from the UK or abroad at all, dinners are typically way later. Like 7 o'clock is early for them. So it really just kind of depends on family and culture and all the things. But essentially, in a nutshell, the idea is to feed them dinner earlier. And the reason why I think this gained popularity so quickly and became a trend is because you know as well as I do that when kids come home from school, they're ravenous. They're hungry. It's like they didn't feed them at all. And I swear, we fill our kids' lunchbox to the brim. We send them with full bellies. They even get snack times at school, and they will still come home hungry. And that makes sense, right? They're working hard. They're learning new skills. They're learning social skills. They're learning school, math, arithmetic, right? Whatever you want to call it, language development, all these things, right? They're learning so, so much. And so, of course, it makes sense that they come home absolutely starving. Their schedule is different than what they've experienced in summer. Everything is in flux. Everything is changing. So it makes sense that they come home hungry. And so because they come home hungry, and a lot of parents feel frustrated that at dinner times they don't eat or they act like they're not hungry, it makes sense that you're like, okay, here's what's typically happening. They come home from school, they're hungry. I give them a snack, they fill up on snack, dinner comes around and they go, I'm not hungry. They don't want the dinner, they don't eat the dinner nearly as well as they eat the snack, right? And part of that is because of hunger, and part of that is because of the type of food that's served. But the reality of it is that we get into these habits, we get into this rhythm and routine of our kids coming home from school, eating more snacky foods, then not eating dinner, then going to bed and probably waking up hangry or cranky or not going to be able to go to sleep because they're hungry. And it's this like awful cycle that parents find themselves in. And so it really does make sense why this trend of moving dinner up in the day seems like it would really work. And I wanted to give kind of my honest thoughts about it as a dietitian, as a picky eating specialist, as someone who literally teaches parents how to feed their kids well, a varied diet, a balanced diet, all of the things from start to finish. And I kind of wanted to give you my perspective on it because that cycle is a horrible cycle to be in. I don't think it needs to be that way, but I also understand why the desire to move dinner up to that earlier time makes complete sense for a lot of families. And so there are pros to it, right? You're meeting the kids where they're at when they're hungriest. You are less stressed come dinner time. There's less pressure on that dinner meal to fill their bellies, to eat a varied diet, to eat healthy, to eat all their sides and all their vegetables and all the things because you already fed them dinner right now. And really the idea, I didn't really finish this, but the idea is to move dinner up and then put a snack time essentially where dinner typically would be. So instead of eating dinner at, let's say 6:30 and snack time at 3:30, you eat dinner at 3:30 and then snack time's at 6:30 and then you go to bed. So there's some pros to it, right? It's meeting them where they're at. It's getting them when they're hungriest. They might even have better moods because it's earlier in the day. I don't know about you and your kids, but my kids, as the day goes on, they're getting crankier and crankier, more and more irritable. Honestly, same. I get it, right? So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of pros for moving that dinner time up. You're less stressed. Dinner's done with, you know, by the end of your day when you're probably most irritable. So there's a lot of pros here. There's also some cons. The number one con, I think, is just the availability. I see a lot of parents say, okay, you're telling me to eat dinner at 3:30 with my kid, but I work full time. I'm not even home yet, or I'm still working when they get home, or, you know, whatever that looks like. My husband isn't home yet from work. We can't have a family meal together because we're eating at 3:30. And if you've been around for a while, you know how important family meals are in reversing picky eating. This is such a good staple. It's such an important part of that. And while, yes, technically a family meal is just one parent and one kid, obviously the goal is to get as many of the family members at the table as possible. So that is the goal. And that's awfully hard to do at 3:30. I don't know about you, but I have zero interest in eating dinner at 3:30. 5:30 was already a stretch for me. Okay. I just got used to that. And so that's really difficult to actually have and be consistent with family meals that early, not to mention the prep time, right? I don't know about you, but it takes me at least 30 minutes to make a meal, sometimes up to an hour if I'm really getting fancy over here. So the idea of having to start meal prep at 2:30, like, I don't even know when that would be. We don't even get home from school pickup until 3:30. So there's so much dynamic at play around your schedules, what your availability is, what your family's availability is, what your values are. All of these things need to be taken into consideration, but there are some cons to it. The other cons are that maybe your kid is in a better mood right after school, but maybe they're not. Like, maybe they just need some comfort. Maybe they're coming home from a hard day, just like a hard day at work for us. We will change kind of our appetite based on the mood we're in or something like that. So they might just need some regulation time, and food isn't necessarily the way that they should be regulating for that, right? And so I think that's a really important thing to note. The biggest thing that I really want to touch on is that I've actually been semi an advocate for this practice for a long time, but I want to explain. Now, if you've been around for a while, you might have already heard me share these tips, but the most important thing you can do if your kid is obsessed with snacks or only eats snacks and then constantly rejects their meals, oftentimes we see that at dinner time, the goal is actually to have snacks and meals be semi-indistinguishable from each other. And what I mean by that is I've actually done this experiment on my Instagram stories before, I put up a picture of a dish, like a plate full of food. And I'll ask my audience, I'll say, hey, who thinks this is lunch? Who thinks this is snack? And I will get the votes split. And the reason why the votes are split is because it isn't obvious. A lot of parents will only serve snacky type foods, and I'm talking mostly like crunchy air foods, popcorners and goldfish and Cheez-Its and I don't know what else is out there, fruit snacks and granola bars and things, only will feed them those foods at snack times. Meanwhile, dinner foods are dinner foods. Like, you're only getting broccoli at dinner time. You're not going to get broccoli at snack time. You're not going to have fish sticks for snack. You're not going to have, salad, Caesar salad for snack, right? And so what I actually recommend is taking some of the dinner, quote unquote, dinner foods, taking some of the quote unquote snack foods and mixing it up, really playing into this idea that snacks are mini meals. So mixing it in together, almost having it semi-indistinguishable. Now, do I think they're always indistinguishable? That's a hard word to say multiple times in a row. No, I don't. I think there's a lot of times you probably could distinguish the difference. There's a lot of times that you would think my lunch is actually a snack and it looks very obviously like a snack when in fact it is lunch. So in that regards, I do kind of agree with this trend in that sense because yeah, your after school quote unquote snack might look like dinner when in fact it is a snack and vice versa for quote unquote dinner time. But I don't think that's what this trend is oftentimes going towards. I think they literally are talking. I mean, when I see people talking about it, they are preparing tacos, they are preparing meatloaf, they are preparing pizza, whatever it might be, for that after school quote unquote snack time, turning that into dinner, and then dinner time, that snack time, I hope you're following with me, are more traditional snack foods. So while I advocate for this in one way by kind of mixing and matching snack foods and dinner foods to make it kind of more flowy between which is what, I don't recommend bringing your dinner foods, quote unquote, all the way to snack time and your snack foods all the way to dinner time and just swapping them. I think there's a missed opportunity there for connection, for seeing your other family members eating the same food as you, because let's face it, no matter what your day has brought, you're probably not going to eat meatloaf at 3:30 during your day and then not eat anything for the rest of the night or just kind of snack on some popcorn or whatever, right? So I think there's a really missed opportunity there. I do think it's important to note that snacks should be including whole foods. And I think so often we just put some pretzels in a bowl or hand them a cheese stick, or maybe we are mixing together something like peanut butter and pretzels, or like a granola bar, opening up prepackaged snacks. And what I really want to encourage you is to bring more whole foods into snack time so that it looks more like a meal. And that's really what we mean when we talk about bringing these kind of dinner foods to snack times that feel more like dinner foods. It's oftentimes because dinner is more quote unquote whole foods. So like I said, broccoli, salad, meatloaf, pizza, whatever it might be, is a more typical dinner food when it could in fact be a snack food, and vice versa. So I would mix it up, have some whole foods at snack time, have some whole foods at dinner time as well. Do not ignore whole foods at any point in your day, but then bring some of those snacky foods to the dinner table. Bring some of those snack options that you typically do, especially if you're trying to phase them out, still just start with them at more during meal times. And this goes for breakfast too, and lunch too, and your AM snack and your PM snack, and whenever it is that you are feeding your kids, which by the way, you should have a regular meal and snack schedule that they can rely on and kind of have some consistency around. But any of these meals and snacks, same advice. And oftentimes a lot of parents feel like breakfast foods are breakfast foods and lunch foods are lunch foods and dinner foods and snack foods are snack foods. And while I understand it, and I still have a propensity to feel that way about certain foods, I actively work against it to make sure that my kids are getting a variety of foods throughout the days, throughout the weeks, throughout the months, throughout the years at different times of day. It's okay to not have those rules. So that's my official take on the 4 p.m. dinner trend. I agree to it to an extent, but I think there are some important caveats, important things to remember if you are going to participate in this trend. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for you to DM me and let me know over on Instagram how it goes for you, if you've ever tried this, if it works for you, if it doesn't work for you, if you're able to keep up with it, how you handled feeding yourself in these situations. I would love to hear from you and in your life and how it's worked. And if you take any of this advice and put it into practice, I'd love to hear from you as well of how it went. I hope this episode was helpful for you, and I will catch you here next week for another podcast episode. See you then.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.